The Brendan O'Connor Show on RTE Radio 1 with All Care Pharmacy. Care and protection for the whole family's health at All Care, taking care of communities across Ireland.
Another aspect of the last 12 months has been cooking at home, because we're working from home, so we're gone back to basics in cooking from home. And people like Chef Mark Moriarty has been helping us along. Mark, good morning to you.
Morning, Damien. How are you?
Very good. It's almost a year since I spoke to you on Countrywide, and we were in mad times then, and how you were actually trying to film and social distance and all of that was all becoming new. But you have a new series coming out.
Yeah, I do. We have Cook-In Season 2, and actually, like you said, we were only laughing on the first day of filming a few weeks ago that who would have thought 12 months later we'd still be social distancing in the same studio doing Season 2 of the show, which is good in one way, but scary in another.
Well, how did it come about, Cook-In, the first series?
Yeah, the first series came about, we were actually supposed to be doing our Beyond the Menu documentary series of Season 2 of that, which was all based around restaurants and chefs, and obviously they all just closed and we were out of work. And it was around the time when people were all of a sudden stuck in their homes and the only thing to do was to cook, and people were learning to cook for the first time or going back to it or advancing it. And this was, if you remember, I remember the Irish Times, there was no flour, they were running out of flour and bread in the shops and things like that. So we decided, let's come up with a very simple series using really basic store cupboard ingredients, which was kind of far away from the cooking I do in the restaurant. So it took me a while to get used to. And it went really well because people could relate to it. There was nothing chefy, nothing too fancy. It was dinners people knew and were making with just a few little twists. The ratings were good, thank God, and RT asked me to come and do another season.
Yeah, well, they were running out of flour 12 months ago. I suppose the sign of the times is this year it's not flour or toilet roll, it's Easter eggs are all gone, apparently.
But I saw that.
Was it harder to make a cookery show under the restrictions? You know, did it make much of a difference to what you actually do making a TV show?
I think it made a better TV show, because the biggest trap I'd fall into is I'd try to do too much of the stuff I want to do. Now, I have a great director, Mark Boland, who has no interest in food and restaurants. He does all the TV programming. And he's like, look, I don't know what that is. So that's not going to appeal to the vast majority of people. So it was a great learning experience for me. And I think the restrictions and how we filmed it, we literally would just film an episode a day, and anything that was filmed had to go in. There was no going back and doing anything. So it made it quite natural. And you don't overthink it. You just kind of go with what fits and what you think people want. And it turned out it was quite a success the first time. So we've stuck with the same principles for season two, just different and new recipes.
And like, what sort of feedback have you been getting? Do you think that there is a new cohort now, a viewer there, people that just flicked past all of the cookery shows and chef shows on TV up until this time last year, but now obviously have to learn how to cook for themselves?
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's one of the few positives from a restaurant and food industry point of view this last year was, while it's been tough, a lot more people have engaged with food and have had to go and cook it. They haven't been able to go to the restaurant, so I suppose they've got a newfound affection for when they do reopen, of what a big part of their lives they were. They're more interested in local food producers, in what's good. There's those kind of dining-in experiences at home that people have been making. And everyone's, I suppose, had a bit of a MasterChef moment in the last year at some point or another. And that can only be a positive for the industry to have maybe a new audience when we do reopen.
Yeah, and of course, you're very much part of the team at the Greenhouse Restaurant on Dawson Street. And you and your colleagues have just had an horrendous 12 months. Now, you're lucky with the TV show, at least, and your golf. I believe you're down to handicap of 3 now to keep you occupied. But it is very tough. What are you hearing now? As like, people who are giving out pubs and restaurants weren't mentioned by Micheál Martin last week, and they're very angry about that there was no, there's no map how we get out of this. What are you hearing, and what's the mood like among chefs and restaurateurs at the moment?
I'm hearing nothing, and there's no point in me flour or sugarcoating it. It's going to be very, very tough. There will, I assume, when we do reopen, hopefully looking at June, July, August, around that time, there will hopefully be a bit of a bounce, but there's no point running around the fact that a lot of places aren't going to reopen or are going to reopen for a short period and then not. I think one thing I'm seeing that's, I suppose, the elephant in the room is, you close an industry for 6 months, which they were right to do in parts, and hopefully the supports will continue. But all the staff, every restaurant can't do something. Every restaurant can't do a box, can't keep their team employed. So people have moved moved out of the industry or moved to new jobs in the industry. So it's not an idea of just clicking your fingers, right, we're open and on this date, and then all the staff are ready to come back. Because, look, everyone has kids, mortgages, different things, financial pressures, and some have had to kind of make it happen elsewhere. So that's my biggest fear, is who's going to be, what's going to be left when it does come to reopening, because the demand will be there, and servicing that, we can't wait to do it, but we're just hoping there's going to be enough people to do it.
All right. Well, look, before we go, you have a recipe for us. It is Easter weekend, and you haven't gone for a lamb.
No.
You haven't gone for the obvious. So what have you got for us?
It's to do with lamb. So look, I'm looking outside the window here. The weather's looking nice. It's probably going to hold up for the weekend. So something a little lighter. It's a focaccia bread, a rosemary focaccia. Bread making is one of those things everyone's probably given a go in the last year. This is a really simple recipe. It appears in the new season of cooking. You throw the dough together. It's simple ingredients, flour, olive oil, salt, and 2 packets of dried yeast, so we get a good bounce off it. It's mixed together. You let it prove, and then what you do is you stick your fingers through it. You cover it in a little bit of water and salt, and what that does is when you stick it in the oven with your rosemary, the steam that's created makes sure the bread goes really light and airy, and the salt kind of concentrates in the holes. And it's beautiful with lamb. So if you're having a barbecue, say, tomorrow at the back garden, it's a different alternative to maybe roast potatoes. And you know what it's really good for is the next day. We make it in the restaurant all the time for staff, is the lamb you've got left over, shred it up on Monday, fry it off in a little bit of garlic and chili in the pan, and then slice what's left over of your focaccia open and make these beautiful lamb and rosemary focaccia sandwiches. And they're absolutely delicious. Bit of pickled onion, maybe a bit of hummus in there. Really, really nice eating.
Any golf plan today?
No golf plants. I'm looking at.
Sure, they're still closed, aren't they?
They're still closed. There's a little bit of a divot appearing in the carpet here. I'm seeing all sorts of putts and shots around the house.
Right. Well, I'll put you on the spot. I presume you follow it. Have you a tip for the Masters then?
Tip for the Masters. Well, actually, two of my friends, we have a bit of a syndicate that's been going for the last 6 or 7 months to keep us interested in Sunday nights. And the value is dropping, but I can't see past Jordan Spieth to win and Tony Finau each way value.
All right. Okay. Tony Finau each way and Jordan Spieth to win it. And not a mention of DeChambeau, who's the big driver. But anyway, maybe Augusta doesn't suit him. All right. It's great chatting to you, Mark. Thanks very much for that. I know there was a lot to take in there in terms of the recipe. So we will put it up on our website.
I'll have it on my Instagram as well there. I'll stick it up straight after.
Brilliant.
There's a few recipes on there as well.
All right. Listen, have a happy Easter. Thanks very much. And Cooking with Mark Moriarty starts this Wednesday, the 7th of April at 8:30 p.m. on RTE1 television, and it's simple, straightforward food to cook at home in the lockdown.